Thank you, Ron. Always enjoy listening to Ron do special music. I always enjoy special music because it's just quite an effort that people put out to serve in that way. They have those talents and abilities and really appreciate their efforts. It's always tough to know what to talk about when you have all different age groups in the congregation. Don't want to talk about something that's going to bore the young people, like when I invented fire or the wheel, because they really don't care. And I don't want to talk about legalizing pot in Denver, because the older people don't really care, or do you? But you look for something that will be meaningful to everybody. And what I want to talk about today is meaningful to every one of us, no matter how old, how young, because it has to do with our future. It has to do with the way we live our life. It has to do with the example we set. And it has to do with asking ourselves, are we the real deal? Are we the real deal? Or are we something else? We have to know that. We have to understand that. God expects no less from us than that, knowing who we are, what we stand for, what we believe. I was told never to begin a message with a word years ago, because half of your congregation will be sleeping about 3 seconds later. So I won't do that. But a while back, coming home from the feast, and I think it was in New Jersey, Barb and I decided we were going to stop at Hershey, Pennsylvania, and load up on chocolate and see how it's made. Loading up was more important than seeing how it was made, but we did have that interest. So as we pulled into this town, Hershey, Pennsylvania, there were all kinds of signs, and at every building we went to, there was something about Mr. Milton Hershey. And I just thought, wow, what a guy. He comes here, he makes millions, if not billions, off the sweat of the common man who break their back working for this guy every day, and they get nothing. You know, it's like the old coal mines where they had the company store. And all of the miners would go to the store, and by time payday came around, they owed their paycheck plus to the store owner just to get enough provisions to live on. And I was putting Milton Hershey in the same place as some of these company store owners. So I knew this guy's no different than any other entrepreneur. He's made his millions off the back of others. And but as we began to look around a little closer, and we took a tour of the city, the little town, and began to see what this man actually did for his employees, how much he appreciated his employees, the financial foundation he set up for each one of his employees, and he built schools, because Mr. Hershey was deprived of a formal education, and education was something that was very, very important to him. So he built schools, and he built those schools to educate orphans, children who didn't have a chance, who didn't have parents, who needed that help so that they could be educated and make a good living and make it in this world. But that was who the man was. Did I feel foolish? And rightfully so. But this man walked the walk. He didn't just talk the talk. He did a lot of things for other people. And I was humbled by who this gentleman was. And that's my message to you and to me today. Do we walk the walk? Because that's important. Ephesians 5, if you turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. The heading here on this chapter is walk in love. Actually, there's three headings in this chapter. Walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. And we're going to cover all three of those today. Because we should be walking this walk. And not just pretending we're walking this walk, but actually doing it. But in chapter 5 and verse 1 it says, therefore be followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. In verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Be blameless. Refrain from sin. You know, we hear a lot of good messages at the feast, and they all had to do with the way we live our lives. Putting into practice God's way of life. Overcoming sin. Changing the way we do some things. Putting God first. Putting our neighbor first. We're expected to do those things. We didn't hear those messages just to be entertained. We heard those messages for a reason. We heard those messages so that we could take those words and put them into practice in our lives. In verse 5, or verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Do we give thanks to God every day? We may not have the newest car, the biggest house, the greatest job, the prettiest wife, the best behaved children. But do we give God thanks for what we do have? Do we take that time out to give him thanks? Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It's made very clear to us right from the get-go that God will not tolerate sin. God wants us to raise above that. He wants us to live a life above all of that. We look around and we see what's going on out in the world today. God wants us to be above that. And we can do that, not of our own, but because God is there with us and he will help us rise above that. In verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. A lot of empty words today. Especially for young people, if you listen to these election commercials, my goodness, talk about empty words. But the younger generation are just taking all of this in. They're not searching for truth. They're settling for lies or settling for falsehoods. And that's a shame. But that's the world we live in. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Walk the walk of God's truth. Don't play with sin. Don't sit on the fence. Don't say to yourself, I'll change tomorrow. What if tomorrow doesn't come? What if we don't have that opportunity? But this instruction is for each one of us, young and old, for each one of us that God has called and brought us into his church. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning in verse 1. Because the first walk we have to walk is the walk of love. The walk of love. We have to love God first. Then we have to love our neighbor. The two great commandments. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm good to go. I'm good. That's not what it says here. It says, I have nothing. Without that love, we have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That love that God has for you and I, that Jesus Christ has for you and I and wants us to have for our neighbor, for each other. It will never let us down. It will never fail us. We have to learn how to truly love God and love each other. To continue on, it says, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. You may know the Bible and be able to recite it by memory. Whip off scriptures like nobody else. But what does that mean? What does that mean? It means you got a good memory. But if you don't know what you're reading, if you don't know what you've memorized, you've got nothing. If you haven't learned to love by memorizing those scriptures and taking those in, and you don't understand the love that God wants you to understand, you have nothing. Sounds good. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. How many people over the years have been in the church? Very smart people. Very smart people. But left because God's truth left them. They forgot. Talk to some of the people who have given up. Talk to them about the Sabbath, about the commandments. They don't remember. They don't remember their commandments from God and where to keep those. That vanishes away. That truth vanishes away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's how it is when we come into the church. When we come into the church, into the knowledge of God, we come in as babies. How many of us knew anything when God first called us? What's the Sabbath? What's the commandments? I don't get it. What's the holy days? Man, I like a good pork chop, and I got to give that up. We didn't understand those things. But God, over time, as our Heavenly Father, nurtured us, helped us, used the ministry, used other members to nurture us and to help us grow. And we began to understand. We began to walk instead of crawl. Are we still walking that walk today? Are we making it a point to continue to learn, continue to gain an understanding? Have we put away childish things? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Do we know what we have? Do we know how blessed we are? Do we appreciate what God's given us? We are different. We are different. We don't go along with the crowd. We don't do some of the things that most religions do to be accepted. Why? Why is that? And in verse 13 it says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love." These three. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Are we walking in love? We have to answer that question. God expects us to do that. Matthew 5, if you turn back there with me, Matthew 5. Walking in love is not always easy. Sometimes people can make loving them very difficult. Matthew 5 and in verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Wow. God's serious here. Love these people who get on my nerves, who hate me, who do things to spite me, who persecute me. And I could go along with loving God and loving my neighbor. I don't know my neighbor. They stay in their house, I stay in mine. It's easy to love them. But now to have to love somebody who aggravates me as well? God's trying to tell us something. God's trying to get a point across to us. You know, when Jesus Christ returns and we become saints and we're working with Him to educate the world, what makes us think we're going to like everybody we're assigned to educate? What makes us think everybody's going to like us? It's going to be work. It's going to be a challenge. Did everybody like Jesus Christ? Did everybody just take every word He said and just stand in awe? Okay. No. They crucified Him for what He had to say. They all did not go along with Him. "But pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus Christ did. What did He say when He was hanging there on the cross? "Father, forgive them because they know not what they do." Forgive them. Stephen said the same thing. Forgive them for what they're doing. Loving those. Showing that love outwardly for those who persecute. Walking in love. They were doing more than just talking the talk. They put that into practice in their life. So walk in the light. We need to do that. We need to do that. Walk in love. Walk in light is walk number two. But walk in love. Study Scripture. What did God mean by that? Walk in love. Let's put that to practice in our lives. Walk in love. Walk number two. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. Walk in the light. Ephesians 5. Beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 5 and in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness." And we were. We didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue about what God was doing with mankind. Who God was. Who Jesus Christ was. What's life all about. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Be proud of who we are. in a humble way, not a vain way. Be thankful of who we are. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. One of the hardest things to do when we came into the church and we began to understand God's truth was cutting off old friendships. Cutting off friendships, not because I was condemning my friends, but I knew if I hang with them, I'm going to do what they do. If I don't get away, I'll be doing the same thing I was doing before God called me. Our flesh is weak. We have to cut ourselves off from that. We have to walk in the light. We have to walk a different path than we used to walk. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. We don't do those things anymore. We shouldn't do those things anymore. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Jesus Christ is light. He's our light. They used to have Ford used to have a commercial. And I used this one time in a Spokesman's Club a long time ago. And I made up a little dummy thing. And I had a light bulb coming out of his head. And I had a switch. And I'd say something. And I'd say, you know, I got a better idea. And click the light on. And I don't remember if that speech went over or not. So it must not have, or I'd be bragging on it. But anyway, God turned on our light. He's got a better idea. He's got a better way. What we have to do is walk in that light, come out of the darkness. Because even as Christians, it can get dark real quick if we get away from that light. It can get pitch black. We won't be able to see where we're going, to see what we're doing. We have to walk in that light. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, feeling that joy, feeling that happiness, feeling like, wow, why did God ever decide on me? Why did He give me this blessing? None of us deserve it. None of us have earned it, nor can we earn it. But God has sought to give us this understanding, to understand our future, understand the things we need to overcome, that sin is not acceptable under any circumstances. The little white lie, unacceptable. Unacceptable to God. God will not play with sin. He gave His Son's life because He will not play with sin. We in God's church have to understand that. We've made the commitment. Are we walking in that light? In verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're all here today in the fear of God. We have a healthy fear of our Creator God. I hope we do. We should. But it's a fear of love, of a desire to please Him, of a desire to walk in that light. Philippians 2, if you turn there with me. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and in verse 12. And the heading here is light bearers. But it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, in that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's you and that's me. We should shine as a light in the world. Let people look at us and say, what are they doing? I want that. I want what they've got. But that example has to come from us. And I mentioned this several times, but there was a man years ago whose wife attended the church. And he finally started attending many years ago. And he said the one reason he didn't come, he said if the church would allow his wife to attend, he didn't want any part of it. Her light wasn't shining when she came home. We can't do that. We should want people to desire to be here because of what they see in us. Because of that light that comes from us. Matthew 5, if you turn back there with me, please. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and in verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. Now who is you? I'd say that's you. And that's me. And that's all of God's people. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and come up and pat you on the back and say, good job. No, but that they glorify God, your Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus Christ, every time he glorified his Father, he gave his Father the credit for who he was and his life. Walk in the light. Walk number three. Walk number three, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. We can look around the world and see that there's many people out there that are foolish, that are running things, world leaders, people who are running industry, all kinds of things. They may be smart in a particular field, but when it comes to life, they're foolish. Don't have a clue. Back to Ephesians, if you turn back there with me, back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God certainly does not want us going through life being foolish, not taking what he has given us, the truth that he has given us, the education that he provides for us every Sabbath. Every Sabbath we're in the classroom, or we should be in the classroom, learning, being taught God's word, being educated so that we can take that education and take it to a different level when Jesus Christ returns and we begin to teach the world what we've been taught. If we're not in the classroom, we're not going to learn that. The classroom should be a priority in our lives. The education that God is giving us freely should be a priority in our lives. That's how we're going to gain wisdom. The knowledge that we will need as teachers, as mentors, as counselors, as friends, as fathers and grandfathers and uncles and aunts, teaching our families, teaching our neighbor, teaching millions and billions of people, we have no idea who they are. But we're going to have the opportunity to teach them what God has taught us, what God has given us the opportunity to learn. We're going to learn to know who we are. Because when we go to the feast, when we come to Sabbath services and we hear a message, we go and we evaluate ourselves. How do I fit into this message? Am I doing this? Am I overcoming that? We're learning. We evaluate. We find out who we are. Are we talking the talk or walking the walk? That's a decision we have to make. We can wait and make that change tomorrow. But I think God would tell us, why not today? Why not make those changes today? We're called the children of God. Do we take that serious? Do we put that title as something so important in our lives? That we think about that all the time. Wow. Children of God. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And I talked about this last week when we had the blessing of the children, because I think this is so important, because as adults it keeps us humble, or it should keep us humble, because Jesus Christ made it very plain. He didn't mince any words. He didn't stutter. He just said it like it was to his disciples. Made it very clear. Matthew 18 and verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it me?" It's got to be me. It wouldn't be Joe Blow over there. You seen him? You talked to him? He's not the sharpest pencil in the box. So it's got to be me. These guys were human beings. This is the kind of stuff they toss back and forth. They weren't any different than we are. Jesus, it's got to be me. And what did he say? What did he say to them? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly," are you guys hearing this? Are you getting this? "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, like you and I are, children of God, and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself..." Whoever takes a real good look at themselves and holds a mirror up and says, "That's the real me," therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children of God, that's an honor to be called that. What a blessing it is to be called that, a child of God. Matthew 19, and in verse 13 again. "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray." But again, the grown-ups who knew everything, the grown-ups who thought they were the greatest, who thought they were the favorite, rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God can call me a child all day. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. If that brings to my mind that I should be humble as a child, I should submit myself to God. I should allow him to teach me and give me that understanding and give me that wisdom that he has. Not worldly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. To be able to understand when we open this book what it says. to be able to understand when I die, I'm not going to heaven and playing a harp for the next zillion whatever years, but that I have something really exciting that's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns and I'm resurrected, following in His footsteps. That's wisdom that God gave me. I didn't understand that, did you? Before God opened your mind, before you had God's Holy Spirit, did you understand that? I don't think we did. Wisdom. Now it's up to us to walk in that wisdom. Do something with that wisdom. So we have to walk the walk. We have to be the real deal. Not tomorrow, but today. Today. That's what God expects. We can't continue to put it off because we're going to run out of tomorrows. Just happens. Whoops. Out of time. So I appreciated Mr. Fitch's message on the feast. We're here temporarily. But while we're here, God is educating us. God expects us not only to talk like a Christian, but He expects us to be a Christian, to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. That's who we are. God has settled for that. God's okay with that. God's comfortable with that. He didn't make a mistake calling us. So we should be comfortable with that. And be thankful to God every day for the opportunity He's given us. So when we get up every morning, just think about that. What can I do today? Well, we can get up every day and walk that walk.